Good morning.
Good morning.
Beautiful morning in Michigan, and I hope a lot of other places too. You know, it's almost November. Wow. Next Sunday, it's in the announcements that we're going to fall back in time. So you're going to be stunningly rested next Sunday. I'm just debating, but I think I'll start as I did yesterday at the 4 o'clock Mass. It was the healing Mass, as you know. Maybe you don't know quite as much because it's always on Saturday. But we have the healing Mass on the last Saturday of every month, and I'd say there were 25 or so people that came from different areas in the diocese. And I don't know that I told the story here, probably did, but there was, a young woman. Don't know how old she is. Jenny, remember, did I tell you the story about Jennifer? It was her 10th anniversary, and 10 years ago, she came to one of the inner healing retreats, really largely unable to function in her role as wife and mother and grade school teacher because of rheumatoid arthritis. It just sort of came upon her at one time, and it stayed with her and really pretty much put her in bed. And she came to the inner healing retreat and had a strong experience. But she really wasn't particularly feeling better. And I think it was her mother, who was also here. They're from Grand Rapids, by the way. And the mom said, why don't you just go to one of those healing masses? So she did. And she was healed really overnight of her arthritis. And she made the point of coming yesterday to give me a little gift. And to remind me it was 10 years ago. Now that's a bit of a praise report, right? Another little interesting piece, and this person's probably listening now, may have listened yesterday, but I had a note this week, a little thank you note from someone in New Mexico. Yeah, that state like the other side of Texas. And she was thanking me because in the last several months, she's learned more about her faith than she's learned in the last 35 years. And she was thanking me because she's listening to our online Mass. Now, is that about me? No. But I'm just telling you. I know Jim loves to hear that because, okay, Jim, how many subscribers do we have now?
883.
883. It is impressive, but some of those hits are 30 seconds long. That's the good news about me being on video. You can just turn me off. Now, I also mentioned yesterday, and we're praying for another miracle here. Again, you probably don't know, but last week, Mike and Jean Pietrzewski celebrated 64 years of marriage. So they're both not ambulatory at this point. They do come to Mass. She's in a wheelchair, and he kind of hobbles along behind her and pushes her in. And so we prayed with them, and they were happy with that. Well, then, after Mass last week, he lost his phone. He was talking to somebody or distracted one way or the other, and he kind of put it on the back bumper of his little Ford Escort, and at least that's where he thought he put it, because he was helping somebody or chatting or whatever, and he lost the phone. So, and he asked me, to ask you, to please say a prayer, because, he said it wasn't an expensive phone, but it had all his information in it, so pray for Mike's phone. He said that he'd have to buy a new one, but if he goes back to the store by tomorrow, so there's a timeline here, Lord, he can keep his own phone number. If it's at later than tomorrow, he's got to get a whole new number and a whole new phone. So Mike needs his phone. Hear the prayer. Now, a phone is not a person, but the Lord has done wonderful things, maybe through St. Anthony, that were lost, so that, we have that healing Mass, and it's not just my ministry. It's a ministry of the church. And yesterday is uncommon. I get notes, and there were at least half a dozen people came up and told stories. There was a person, interestingly, who came to the healing Mass last month, and I don't remember him saying it, but I guess apparently he did, because he came by himself. His wife did not come with him. And a month ago, he had asked that we pray that his wife become pregnant. Well, he came back within the month, I think it was last week, he came and said, Father, guess what? And I said, I don't know what. My wife's pregnant. I said, well, praise God. So they're really very, now, did I do that?
No.
I said that a little differently last night. People thought, oh, I hope you didn't do that.
Anyway, she's pregnant. Thank you, God.
So say a prayer for Mike's phone and for Gene. You know, they're both kind of struggling with health, but he needs the phone. Now, in a way, I intentionally start the way because I wanted to hear those things because a lot of the Sunday people don't come to the Saturday Mass, and these things do go on. Now, some weeks there's only some months there's only 2 or 3 or 10 people for the healing Mass. Last evening there were quite a few, and they come from far and wide. But again, that's not us. And I did make the point, and I'll do it again, that for a lot of years we had prayer teams. A lot of the people that are on the prayer teams were from St. Lucie. St. Lucie's, where they had a pretty active ministry even before I had gotten there 35 years ago now. Can you imagine? But now, all the prayer teams are St. Vincent parishioners. So I want you to know that. There are people here that we've seen and they've recognized that they have gifts of healing, they're committed to their prayer life, and they're open to really trying to perceive and discern the movements of the Holy Spirit. It's a blessed community, so it's not my ministry, it's not someone's ministry or someone else's ministry, it's God's ministry. We are the agents. So please pray for those things, because whether you think about it or not, you're part of it. And if you pray for it and consciously attend to it, all the better. So in light of that, in today's story, the miracle of the healing of Bartimaeus, it's an engaging story, isn't it? But I know after we got 2 verses into that story, you kind of went, yeah, well, I know this one. I know how it ends, right? Even the best stories can grow old after several hearings. And the effect is evident even in the Word of God. But I have to point out, as you already know, that the Word of God is universal and it's timeless. I've written homilies on all these readings for 40 years now, almost 41. And it's a challenge to come up with new insights about breaking open the Word of God. We can very easily be led into the punchline or the last line or the point or what we think the point is. But the power of the Word is that one story might talk to 15 different people or 150 different people hitting a different part of the story that struck them in that particular way. So the power and the grace of God is timeless and universal. It has the capacity to awaken, to inspire, to convert, or sometimes to convict, to alert the heart to sort of, wow, I need to think about that. The same story can be told and retold again, and sometimes with different inferences or inflections of voice. Accentuating one tone or word, you know, might help someone hear the story in a different way. So we're going to try to reflect on the story of Bartimaeus in just the same way, but maybe in a little different way today. Maybe some fresh details that we may not have been aware of will help us to think about the story in just a little way, just a little different way. So Jesus is on the road. They're all walking, by the way. I don't know that Jesus ever owned a horse or a donkey. I don't think he had a cart, four-wheel drive. But they were walking. Now, they're walking to Jerusalem. And he's walking to Jerusalem knowing that it will be his death. Does he know explicitly it's going to be on a cross? Maybe. But he's going to his death. So 15 miles. If they were in a hurry, they could do that in one day. Would you be in a hurry? No. 2-3 days, if they really wanted to be slow, might have taken them a week. Depends how many, you know, inns and coffee shops are on the way. But again, put yourself in this situation. Jesus knows he's going to Jerusalem where he's going to be killed. And the time is growing short. Now in Mark's gospel, from which we read today, this is the last miracle of Jesus before his suffering and death. Now, not only is Jesus walking with the disciples and probably a large crowd of his own following, but he's on the road with many other people, hundreds if not thousands of people, literally that many people, all traveling to Jerusalem for a high festival of one of the significant Passovers, the Passover. And so they're not alone. They're with this whole wide crowd of people. So we have, historically, for whatever reason, Jericho was known as a city, a very small city, but nonetheless a kind of a way station on the way to Jerusalem. And many blind people would line the roads, particularly on these festival feasts, and they would line the sides of the roads and beg for alms. And Bartimaeus was among them. Now, why does Bartimaeus get called out? Well, first of all, he had a big mouth. And he wanted to be seen and heard. Notice the dark and lonely life of these unsighted beggars sitting by the side of the road. Maybe how you or I might feel, is it just me, or aren't more and more the corners of our fair city and various cities have people standing on them? More, I see them, you know, I go to the Costco at Gratiot there, office 696, and they used to stand along there all now. They mean they put a fence up there now, and they're not standing there, but they're somewhere else. So these are unseen people, unseen people begging. But it seems, now again, put yourself in that circumstance. Bartimaeus seems to be deferent. He knows, or at least has heard of Jesus. Considering his circumstance, if that was your circumstance, or the circumstance you have in your life now, if you have a circumstance, I'm sure you do, you're here, would you have cried out? Would you have called out to Jesus? Would you have made a scene, being loud and perhaps persistent and aggressive as he was, even though others were trying to have you be quiet? It doesn't seem that Bartimaeus was forlorn or depressed. Perhaps he's accepted to a degree his circumstance in life, but he's not surrendered to his fate. The man wants to see. He wants to be more alive, not only in his life. He seems to want to be more actively engaged in the faith he holds. Now, maybe he's just holding faith because he's hoping for a miracle. I don't know, you know, Jennifer from Grand Rapids, I don't know what her faith was like before she got healed, but it's better now. She has an active relationship with Jesus, and 10 years later, she's still thanking God. I know people that have been healed, and a few weeks later, it's like, well, what have you done for me lately? You know, you have to think about that. She's grateful 10 years later, and she drove 3 hours to come and thank me. Well, Jesus through me. So Bartimaeus wants to be seen and heard. And so he takes the courage to shout out, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. That's the sign he has faith. He's had to have heard of Jesus. He's had to have heard of many of the miracles, or he never would have applied that messianic title to Jesus, Son of David. Now, he doesn't shout this just once. He shouts it many times. And people are around him, just they don't want to hear it. Now, why don't they want to hear him? Maybe they don't believe, or they don't want to trouble themselves to have to believe. There's a lot of people like that. I don't want to have to think like that. But we think like that. We say we believe in Jesus. So would you cry out in such a way? Would you cry out if it wasn't a personal need? Should we be crying out, for instance, for the election that's coming up? I think we ought to. I think we ought to be crying out to Jesus real hard so that the wisdom of God, Ken and I know many of you probably already voted, as I have, mail in. But we can cry out for all these things because our lives of faith cannot simply be, well, I'm okay, so you're okay. No, if we're not all okay, well, then we need to cry out, right? So Bartimaeus is pretty aggressive. He's persistent. He's got an intention there. He wants a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Do you? Would you act that way? Bartimaeus knows this isn't some passing shot in the dark. Jesus isn't going to walk by him too many times in his life. He doesn't want to miss the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Of course, with Jesus, there's endless opportunities. But for Bartimaeus, in the flesh, Jesus wasn't going to walk by him more than once. So he wasn't going to miss that opportunity. He believed, and he wanted to be heard. And he spent the energy of his faith so that the Lord might see him. So once he gains the attention of the Lord, he doesn't miss the moment. And Jesus gives him the perfect opening. Well, first of all, call him. Now notice the crowd. If you were in the crowd, notice their shift. Now they're just, okay, well, now they kind of know Jesus too. And they kind of believe, well, okay, this is the guy that heals people. Okay, hey, he's calling you. Hey, don't get up. We want to see what he's going to do. Are you just an innocent bystander to kind of see a strange or odd thing happen? You see? But Jesus gives them the perfect opening. And that's one of the high points here. Because that question is for every one of us. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Now, you might need a new roof on your house, more gas in your car. You might need more money in the bank. You might need all kinds of things. But are you willing to ask in whatever way? Notice how Jesus responds to him. Go your way. Your faith has saved you. Jesus sees and feels the desire of faith. He can see it in the man's eyes. Oddly enough, he's blind. But he feels it from his heart, from the heart of Bartimaeus. Now, it seems to me that Jesus must have been pleased by that, maybe encouraged, maybe even consoled, because he knows within the next couple of weeks, if not whatever the time frame, he was going to be dead. He was going to be hanging on that cross. And so, wouldn't you have been encouraged? Wouldn't you be encouraged? I think of my brother. His heart function is well below 30. Ejection fraction, if you know anything about that, 55 is a good number if you have ejection fraction. Anything lower than 40 is generally active heart failure. He's like 25 or 30. He's doing a little better. He's lost a lot of weight, a lot of water weight. So he's breathing better. He can sleep at night. And, you know, you don't know. Several of us in the family, all of us now have visited him, other people, nieces and nephews have visited. He's getting calls. People are stopping by. He had a large group of friends. He was started as a teacher, became a principal, athletic director, and then helped curriculum development for the Diocese of Gaylord. So he's been around that whole education circle, and he has a lot of friends, and they're all encouraging him. Because we don't know, is it going to be today or tomorrow, 2 weeks, 6 months? A lot of people think it's a miracle he's still around. So I think Jesus was consoled. Wouldn't you say that? He was encouraged. Not really exactly the same way. In John's gospel, it's a beautiful story, isn't it? Don't you think it was just so loving in John's gospel when the woman came and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and then anointed? And I love the line, it's from Father Ron Rollheiser in The Holy Longing. As Jesus was hanging on that cross, he must have thought of that woman who 2 or 3 days before anointed him, thinking to himself, that's a love worth dying for, which is why he did it. But he says to Bartimaeus, go your way. Strange line. Go live your life the way you want. Your faith has saved you. Normally we expect, well, I did you a favor, now I expect something back, right? He says, go live your life. That tells me that Jesus was quite confident that the faith he saw in Bartimaeus, however he was going to go forth and live his life, it was going to be for the betterment of the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't give an assignment. He didn't say, follow me right now because I'm going to die and I need you to be there. He didn't tell him anything. He said, go live your life. But immediately Bartimaeus follows him on the way. What's the way? the way of the cross. So, of course, now we don't know what the rest of that story was. We know the story of Jesus, but what was the story of Bartimaeus? Given that perspective, how does the story strike you this time around? The obvious point, what do you want Jesus to do for you? On the other hand, not as obvious, is your faith, could your faith be similar to the faith of Bartimaeus with the courage and the energy to really call out your needs? Do you desire a face-to-face relationship with Jesus? Would you loudly cry out for that? Or is it enough for you to just silently offer your plea to the heavens, trusting that God will hear? Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Is your faith saving you? Odd question, right? Is your faith saving you? Well, it is. But the point might be, are you aware of it? Are you letting God love you? Are you letting God forgive you? Are you surrendering to God? Are you humble enough in the model of the humility of God himself to surrender your needs to Jesus so that he might save you? It's just something to ponder, you see. That's not a negative question. It's not like, oh God, I'm not worthy. No, it's a positive question. Where or how do you see God's salvation in your life? Now, I know you do. Otherwise, you'd be home sleeping. But you're here. Some of you are worried about loved ones who are ill. Some of you are getting over the bereavement of having lost a loved one, etc. You know, the concerns and worries are legion. But is your faith saving you? How do you see that saving grace in your life? Because what Jesus offered the blind man, he's offering all of us. The context is going to be different. Most of us will never be to Jericho. Most of us, pray God, will never be blind. But there's always going to be something. We need Jesus. And please, not just for yourself, not just for myself. Pray for the church. Pray for the world. Pray for peace. The list is long, and you know that. Maybe with this perspective and the reading today, we can hear it just a little differently. We allow Jesus to receive your prayer, your wishes, what you want, and trust him enough to answer the way he wants, and not only the way you want or the way you expect. I think God blesses a lot of us, all of us, all the time. But it doesn't look like we think it should look and say, well, that was nice, but I was really hoping for something else. How many times has God already saved you? I know he saved me a lot. I could be long gone by now. He saved me a lot of times, and I don't just mean dying. Praise God for the mercy that Jesus is. Lord, open our eyes and warm our hearts that we can see you and love you and support you, because Jesus too needs friends. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.